We rise for the benediction. And now, having received the body and blood of Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, for life and salvation, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give to you his peace.
Thank you. Good morning. I'd like to welcome everyone to worship, and as always, please take the time to sign the guest card at some point during our worship service. Number of announcements today. Don't forget coffee hour immediately following in the town square. This week, January 18th, we have lunch and worship. We have lunch at noon, worship at 1 in the chapel, about a half hour long with communion. And we'd love to have you attend if you'd like. Also, this Friday's family movie night, always a wonderful event. The Secret Life of Pets is the movie. And youth group today, they're going bowling tonight. And also, if you or have a young person interested in Jamaica mission trip, orientation meeting is next Sunday, and it is a requirement. Also, women's Tuesday night Bible study, they're starting this week at 6 o'clock. Walk as Jesus walked, being a disciple in a broken world. And this Saturday is men's breakfast, and our guest speaker, Reverend Ron Farah, is going to talk about predestination. And I'm pretty sure he's not going to give a good answer on that. But he's predestined to fail on this topic, let me tell you. Also, Baton Rouge, our mission trip, February 18th through the 25th. If you'd like to come, we'd love to have you. We're having an informational meeting following the 10:30 service in the Great Room. And you'll learn a little more about the trip. Can't make the meeting, but still interested, give me a call. And Prime Timers, next Sunday, our own Vic Moigas is going to be speaking. Check that out in the announcements. Should be a great topic. And Ultimate Date Night, January 27th here at Redeemer. Jay and Laura LaFoon are going to be speaking. They're very comical. Check it out. You can go to our website, and there's a link. But if you're interested, see my wife, Andrea, for tickets. And with that, we'd rise for the opening hymn.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And Merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended thee, and justly deserve thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray thee of thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being.
And upon this, your confession, I, as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto you this day, and in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated.
Invite the children forward for the children's message. Good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, I have had so much problems with you people at 9 o'clock saying good morning. I'm not going to ask you again. Get on your feet. We're going to get some energy going. Come on, stand up. Stand up. Okay, every time I say jump, you got to jump, okay? Jump. There you go. Today we're talking about Jumping Jehoshaphat, and he jumped a lot, I guess, because they called him Jumping Jehoshaphat. I wonder why Jumping Jehoshaphat, I got ahead of myself, didn't I? Jumped so much. Well, actually, Jumping Jehoshaphat never jumped. He was never called Jumping Jehoshaphat in the Bible. But Thomas Reed, wrote the book of the Headless Horseman, and he used the phrase Jumping Jehoshaphat, and that's where we got the phrase. And many people, instead of saying oh my goodness, they would say Jumping Jehoshaphat. Now Jumping Jehoshaphat was a good king long ago in for Judah, and Jumping Jehoshaphat really jumped into the arms of God, because Jumping Jehoshaphat trusted God and jumped into his trust. And so that's what we're going to talk about today. And you can ask Mom and Dad about Jumping Jehoshaphat. Now let's jump for the rest of it. Okay, we're getting that energy. Jump, jump, jump. What you're getting today after Sunday school is a bracelet. And it's a faith bracelet. And this one says faith, hope, love. This one says a soldier of the cross. And isn't this fun? We might do this to your parents too during the sermon. Every time we say Jumping Jehoshaphat, I like to thank you for coming up. And you can jump to Sunday school now. Bye.
The Old Testament reading for today is taken from 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verses 1 through 12. After this, the Moabites and Ammonites, with some of the Meunites, came to wage war against Jehoshaphat. Some people came and told Jehoshaphat, "A vast army is coming against you from Edom, from the other side of the Dead Sea. It is already in Hazazon Tamar, that is, En Gedi." Alarmed, Jehoshaphat resolved to inquire of the Lord, and he proclaimed a fast for all of Judah. The people of Judah came together to seek help from the Lord. Indeed, they came from every town in Judah to seek him. Then Jehoshaphat stood up in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem at the temple of the Lord in the front of the new courtyard and said, "Lord, the God of our ancestors, are you not the God who is in heaven? You rule over all the kingdoms of the nations. Power and might are in your hand, and no one can withstand you. Our God, did you not drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and give it forever to the descendants of Abraham, your friend? They have lived in it, and have built in a sanctuary for your name, saying, if calamity comes upon us, whether the sword of judgment or plague or famine, we will stand in your presence before this temple that bears your name, and we will cry out to you in distress, and you will hear us and save us. But now here are men from Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, whose territory you will not allow Israel to invade when they came from Egypt. So they turned away from them and did not destroy them. See how they are repaying us by coming to drive us out of the possession you gave us as our inheritance. Our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power to face this vast enemy that is attacking us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. Here ends the Old Testament reading. The epistle reading for today is taken from Philippians chapter 4, verses 10 through 13. I rejoiced greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. Here ends the epistle reading.
For the reading of the Holy Gospel. Today's Gospel reading is recorded in the Gospel according to St. John chapter 11, beginning at verse 17. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die, and whoever lives by believing in me will never die. You believe this? Yes, Lord, she replied. I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. After she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. The teacher is here, she said, and is asking for you. When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house comforting her noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. Where have you laid him? He asked. Come and see, Lord, they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, see how he loved him. But some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying? Here ends the gospel reading. Please be seated.
Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, today we're starting a three-week sermon series. Topics, they have nothing to do with each other. Two Sundays from now, we're going to talk about the Crusades and whether they were justified. Next week, we're going to talk about, this came from a question in the pew, you know, why do we eat meat? Why do humans eat meat? When did humans start eating meat? And why did Jesus eat meat? We know he ate fish and lamb, but should he have been a vegetarian? So, a great question. And also, I thought I'd tie in with that then the Bible diet. So remember we announced the Bible diet? It's from the book of Daniel. It's more like a fast, and it's more of a vegan diet, a little more strict than a vegan diet. And I invited a number of you people, you know, whoever wanted to participate with me. We put devotions online. This is day 6 of the diet. And Stephanie Springer put exercises on for every day. Anybody doing this with me? Yeah, a few of you. Not too many, but a few. That's great. You know, you don't realize, because you can have beer. You know how much I love beer. 10 days without beer. You don't realize how long that is. And then social activities. You know, went to a wedding reception yesterday, and, you know, just great food out. You know, the person next to me got a nice plate with chicken on, and the next person got a plate with salmon, another person at the table had steak, and my wife and I, we get cauliflower steak. What is that? They take cauliflower and they grill it like a steak. They try to fool you. It's a steak. It doesn't taste like a steak. It's not meat. Don't get me wrong, it was good. I just missed the meat. So it's more of a fast. And we'll talk about that next Sunday. But in our Old Testament lesson for today, we have King Jehoshaphat, jumping Jehoshaphat, calling for a fast. Why? Well, a little background of the story. When we talk about the children of Israel, we often, you know, talk about their journey from Egypt to the Promised Land. But now they're in the Promised Land. They've been there some time. God told his people, hey, you know, I'm going to rule over you. I know there's other nations around you, but don't start to do what they do. And don't try to imitate them. Don't try to take on their style of government. And, you know, it lasted for a while, but eventually the children of Israel started to grumble. They said, we want kings. Everybody else has a king. We want a king. So they had, you know, the first king, King Saul, and then King David, then King Solomon. And pretty much after Solomon, the 12 tribes split. They divided. God's people separated themselves from one another. You have the northern tribes and southern tribes. The northern tribes are called Israel. The southern tribes that include Jerusalem is called Judah. Now, four kings in to this southern tribe of Judah is King Jehoshaphat. King Jehoshaphat is a great king. Some of the things he does, he restores relationships between the north and south. He doesn't unite them, but they're at odds with one another. Now, we probably look at this, you know, all these years later thinking, these are the people of God. Couldn't they get along? Have you seen some congregations that can't get along? Or families that can't get along? That happened there. Well, he restored relations. And then he brought about religious reform. They still worshiped God, but they were also worshiping the false gods of the kingdoms around them. They had false idols. And so he sends out some priests and Levites to travel all their communities and go to the synagogues, and we would call them Bible studies, but that's what they did. They studied God's word. And all they had then, pretty much, was the Pentateuch, the first 5 books of the Bible. The book of Psalms, you know, that was written by Jehoshaphat's, great-great-great-great-grandfather, King David. And so they had the book of Psalms also. So he brings about religious reform. He also goes to the judicial system. At this time, it's very corrupt. The wealthy are taking advantage of it. It's all politics. And he goes in and makes sure that everybody gets a fair shake. Now, you would think this guy, this king, who's doing everything right, that everything would go well for him. But it's not the case. You know, sometimes in our lives, you know, we do everything that's right. We do everything that we think God expects of us. And yet things go wrong. And that's what happened for King Jehoshaphat. There's some great lessons from the king. King Jehoshaphat gets word that three kingdoms have united against him: Moab, Edom, and Ammon. Three armies have been united, and they're going to attack Judah. Now, Jehoshaphat has an army, so he assembles his army, and he sends them to the northern border. He's assuming this is where the attack is going to come. And these are three armies joined as one. So he sends almost all his troops up there. It only makes sense. But then he gets word that the three armies are attacking from the south. There is no time to get the troops from the north and bring them south. He has three enemies against him. What does he do? You know, you ever have three things against you? I mean, in life, you know, it seems that we can balance one thing, maybe two, right? They come into our world and we say, okay, this is a challenge, this is a struggle, but I can deal with it. I can manage it. Then maybe a second one. And you ever have that third one come in? Do you ever have so many issues that you just can't balance them? You can't make it work? You can't figure out a plan? Jehoshaphat thought he had a plan, it didn't work. And you may be working on a plan. And you may discover it doesn't work. I sent my troops there, I put my resources there, and I should have put them here. I made the wrong decision, now what do I do? Now, you would think if in this situation, and we wouldn't blame him, I'm sure he was scared. Could he run away? He tried to make other plans, there are no other plans. He doesn't really have an army to fight. So what does he do? He gathers the people of God together. They go on a fast. They pray. They go to the house of God, men, women, children. They all gather together and pray. You heard a portion of his prayer. Wasn't it a powerful prayer? Did you hear how he ended that prayer? It's on the front cover of your bulletin. We do not know what we ought to do, but our eyes are on you. You notice on the front cover of the bulletin, we made the word smaller and smaller, just like an eye chart. But we don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. You know, sometimes in life, that's about what our prayer can be. I don't know what to do, but my eyes are on you. What a lesson. And as they're praying, and I hope you took note how Jehoshaphat, you know, in his prayer, said that God is all-powerful. He has made heaven and earth. All things belong to him. Remember, Jesus said, with God, all things are possible. Jehoshaphat knew that very well. And in the midst of this prayer service, a prophet comes out of nowhere. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 15, he said, "Listen, King Jehoshaphat, and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says for you to do. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army, for the battle is not yours, but God's." Aren't those comforting words? When you're facing those enemies that seem to overwhelm you, when you're reminded the battle is not yours, it's not up to you, it's not up to your strength, it's not up to your ability, it's not up to you making a plan. The battle is God's. And that's what Jehoshaphat is doing in prayer. But our eyes are on you. He's giving it all over to God. And in life, that's what God calls us to do, to live in faith, to give it over to him. The prophet continues, "You will not have to fight this battle. Take up your positions. Stand firm and see the deliverance the Lord will give you, Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Go out to face them tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you." What comforting words. Face your enemies tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you, because the battle is his. Now guess what he does? This is very ironic. It's strange. If you're going to fight a battle, he does have a few forces that stayed behind, so he assembles that ragtag army. There's not many there. If you're going into battle, this doesn't make sense, but this is what he does. He gets a bunch of singers and puts them in the front lines. This is Steve Seagrave's favorite Bible story, right? favorite Bible story. We're putting you in the front line, Steve. Put the singers in the front lines. And as they go to battle, they sing. And they don't sing psalms of God saying, oh, woe is me, and help me, and please deliver me. No, they sing songs of victory. We do have one recorded for us. It says, give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever. What beautiful words. Give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever. And their hymns were hymns of victory and praise and confidence in God. And what a lesson to us. When we go do battle against the enemy, when those things that are before us that scare us and frighten us, to put a song in our heart and in our lips, a song of praise and confidence and comfort in our God. For he goes with us and his love endures forever. They show up at the battlefield and every soldier from the three armies are dead. Everyone. Guess what? Their alliance broke down sometime through the night. And they started to fight one another. And they killed each other. It was God's battle. And Jehoshaphat didn't even have to fight. It was God's battle, and we're told it took 3 days to pick up the plunder left behind. 3 days. Guess what Jehoshaphat does after this? Where do you think you find him? Back in the temple of God. He brings the army, and they go worship God. They give him thanks. Where does his problem begin? Where do we find him when his problem begins? In the temple. Where do we find him when his problem's resolved? In the temple. Praising God. Now, I don't know what's before you. And we're not preaching a religion of name it and claim it, meaning you name what you want to conquer and you're going to claim it because God's going to give it to you. That's not what the Bible teaches. God named and claimed this victory for Jehoshaphat. And there are things that God names and claims for us that we should hold on to each and every day, like in our baptism. We are told in Scripture that we have died with Christ, never to die again, that when we breathe our last, eternity is ours. Like in the Lord's Supper, Jesus said, take and eat, this is my body. Take and drink, this is my blood. Be assured of your forgiveness. And the words of absolution, to know that our sins are forgiven, that we have God's promise on it, just like Jehoshaphat had God's promise and the victory was his. And we can live in confidence and trust. You hear Lazarus' sisters in our gospel lesson for today? They were so close to Jesus. They recognized him as the Messiah, as God incarnate. And yet, what did they show him? Lack of confidence and frustration. If you would have been here, my brother would have not died. See how they limit God? They limit God. Oh, if you were here when he was sick, you could have healed him. But now that he's dead, your power is worthless. How often we limit God. And Jesus would remind us that through God, all things are possible. And you should probably remember the rest of the story. Jesus calls Lazarus his friend from the grave, and he's alive again. Our God has the power over all things, and he goes with us. No matter where we go, what confidence, what trust we should have. Let me just leave you with the words of Isaiah chapter 40. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We rise to sing the offertory.
We come to you, O Lord, on behalf of all people, that they might joyfully see your glory proclaimed in your creation. Enrich and sustain all of your saints in every place, that by your word they do not lack any gift of your grace, as they patiently and faithfully await the return in glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. According to your mercy and grace, grant healing and deliverance to all who are afflicted and in need of help and reassurance. Bolster their faith and sustain them until the coming day of our Lord Jesus Christ. As you have rescued us from the pit of destruction, so place into our mouths a new song of salvation. Preserve us in your steadfast love and answer us graciously for the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord. We pray for those who have requested our petitions, including those who are grieving the death of loved ones, the family and friends of Janice Hawkins, mother of Peter, and the family and friends of Mary Elizabeth Boys, whose funeral was held here at Redeemer yesterday. Father, bring comfort, peace, reassurance, and hope to all hearts who grieve. We pray also for those who are facing or recovering from health concerns, Robert Waldron, Phyllis Candy, Marilyn Stargard, Scott Pariseau, Daniel Sawyer, Mary DeVoris, Zach Endress, Izzy Sherman, Lenore Stevens, Bernita Corbett, Fred Rohrbach, Rose Laramie, Karen Barker, Sue Hawkins, Sue Schmidt, Heather, Jerry Eric, Gary Kane, Morgan Wolf, Elmer Compton, Carol Wingo, Priscilla McFall, Fred Hollis, Alberta, and Ken Schmidt, and David Peterson. And Father, we pray your blessing would be upon those who are in hospice care, Mr. Cagle and Ron. Grant them peace and faith as they await your call home. We pray for the president-elect and all local and world leaders. Father, grant them wisdom and good judgment. We pray for those who are selflessly serving our nation in the police forces around this country, and also those who are serving in all branches of the military. Father, watch over and be present with them. And Lord, we pray for those who are serving your holy church in the mission field. Bless their proclamation of the saving gospel of Jesus Christ. We give you thanks for all who are celebrating birthdays and wedding anniversary. And especially, Lord, we pray your blessing would be on Sophie Lee and Rudy Becker, who were married here at Redeemer yesterday. Bless their union as husband and wife. And Lord, we give you thanks for the flowers upon the altar given by Kirk and Debbie Vernacki in thanksgiving for their 23rd wedding anniversary, and those at the lectern given by the Klaus family in celebration of Sarah's 10th birthday. And we thank you for those who are sponsoring the Family of God Soup Kitchen, the May, Ortal, and Priscorn families. Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy in the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." And in the same way also, after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of all of your sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. May the peace of the Lord be with you always." Amen.
Sits on heaven's mercy seat. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you.
Come.
You are my everything, and I will adore you.